on the fourth Sunday of Advent, and our theme today, related with our candle and our banners, is the theme of love. Now, of course, love is a word we use a lot. We talk a lot about the things we love. We love our kids. We love our homes. We love our spouses. We love our cars. We love our sports teams, insert Cubs, Bears, Packers, Bulls, whoever you want to put into that one. We love pizza, we love steak, we love lots of things. Love is that word that feels a little overused, doesn't it? Musicians have been singing about love for decades. As you know, on the Billboard top charts, there have been over 100 songs that have hit number one with a theme of love in them. We can go way back to 1956. Elvis sang and hoped for people to love me tender, right? A little bit later on, in 62, he sang how he just couldn't help falling in love. Remember that one? I know you're starting to sing it now in your heads, right? And even though he couldn't help falling in love, some obviously could because the Righteous Brothers had lost that loving feeling, right? And on it goes. In 75, the Eagles were willing to give the best of my love. Captain and Tennille told us that love will keep us together, right? I know for some of you, this is, right? You've never heard of any of these songs. It's all right, we'll get there. But by 76, Paul McCartney was tired of silly love songs. Remember that, right? But REO Speedwagon wanted to keep on loving you. Right? The music just keeps playing and playing. Tina Turner wanted to know what's love got to do with it. Right? Remember her? That great song, yep. 1985, Whitney Houston was saving all her love for you. But then Foreigner had the question, I want to know what love is. Right? That's a lot of love songs, and that's not every one of them. That's just some that have love in the title. There are so many more. Do you ever think we've overused the word love, or we've kind of lost the power and meaning of love? What really are we trying to say when we love something? Maybe Foreigner had a good question. I want to know what love is, really what love is. Maybe you've never really thought about it that way, but today as we think about love as our theme, as we dive into the last of our Advent conspiracy, we're going to talk about what does it mean to love all? And to help us understand what love really is, we look to our scriptures today out of 1 John 3:16 and following. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. It's one of the letters, as far as we understand, that the disciple John wrote. It's very similar to John 3:16. It goes this way. He writes, "This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it and turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear." My dear children, let's not just talk about love, let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're truly living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it, for God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we are bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we asked for because we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. And he told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, gracious God, indeed, artists have been singing and wondering about love for decades upon decades, and so do we. So Lord, help us to explore and to understand what it means to truly love as you love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So our passage gets right to the point and says, this is how we really know what love is. We look to Christ and to what he did, and that he lived sacrificially and gave himself and his life for us. That is the ultimate sign of love, to give oneself for another. And so that's what we mean when we talk about love on the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's what we mean when we talk about love at our charge, when we say love God and love your neighbor. We look to Christ and see him as the ultimate example of love. Love that's much more than what the artists Foreigner or Tina Turner or Elvis or any other might have sung about. They were trying to figure it out. And we look to Jesus and we say, ah, that's what love is like. There was a Christmas pageant going on at a local elementary school a while back. And of course, as is often the case nowadays, to make sure that nobody's feathers get ruffled in these holiday things at schools, they were keeping, you know, Christ out of it all. It was just a story about Christmas love was the title of this little pageant. And it was lovely songs and stories. And at the end of it, there were to be this row of children standing up, and they each had a letter that was to spell out Christmas love. And they were going to come out and be with their backs to the crowd and then all at once turn with their letters and spell it out. Christmas love. But as sometimes happens with kids and props and such, the girl with the M turned it upside down. So it was a W. And as all the kids turned, instead of it saying Christmas love, it said Christ was love. And then there was no more mystery for that elementary school audience. What was Christmas about? It was about Christ being born into the world because God loved the world and gave his only son for it. And so, as we think about this challenge in our Advent conspiracy to love all, what we mean is to love like Christ loved, to love sacrificially, to love those who we don't necessarily find easy to love, those who are different than us, those who might cost us something, those who will be uncomfortable to be with. Of course, this is what the church has been wrestling with for the last 2,000 years. How do we do that? In the early centuries, there was a historian who wrote about the Christian church. This is second century, so 100-something. Christian church hadn't been around for very long, but people in the Roman Empire were beginning to notice it as it was growing. This historian writes in what is called the Letter to Diognetus. He says this, Christians are not differentiated from other people by country or language or customs. They do not live in cities of their own or speak some strange dialect. They live in both Greek and foreign cities, wherever chance has put them. They follow local customs in clothing and food and other aspects of life. But at the same time, they demonstrate to us the unusual form of their own citizenship. They live in their own native lands, but as aliens, and every foreign country is to them as to their native country, and every native land as a foreign country. They marry and have children, just like everyone else, but they do not kill unwanted babies. That was a rather common practice in the ancient world. They offered a shared table. They are passing their days on earth, but are citizens of heaven. They obey the appointed laws and even go beyond the laws in their own lives. They love everyone, but are persecuted by all. They are put to death and they gain life. They're poor and yet they make many rich. They are dishonored and yet gain glory through dishonor. Their names are blackened and yet they are cleaned. They are mocked and they bless in return. They are treated outrageously and behave respectfully to others. When they do good, they are punished as evildoers, and when punished, they rejoice as if being given new life. So the early church, trying to live into this call by Jesus to love neighbor, the neighbor who wasn't like them, the neighbor who who wasn't treating them well, to deal with every person they met with sacrificial love. And the people in the ancient world were beginning to notice, because when we love that way, like Christ loved us, well, people notice. It's hard not to. It's not how we tend to treat one another. We tend to love those we like and those who are like us. But beyond that, not so much, right? But Jesus, of course, when he came on the scene as he began to teach, he tried to correct that as he challenged his followers. Remember Matthew 5, he said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that?" See, it's easy within our networks to love those like us, to love those we like. But Christ came and gave himself for all, those who loved God and those who didn't. And he challenges us to love that way too. And that's certainly the biggest challenge of all, isn't it? How we might love all. Came across a story this week about a five-year-old. I love this. There's a five-year-old girl at an elementary school in Vista, California. Should be a picture of her. Let's see. There she is. This is Caitlin Hardy. Remember, five-year-old. Now, Caitlin is a kindergartner at Breeze Hill Elementary School, and she one day overheard a parent saying she was having difficulty paying for her child's after-school care program. And that troubled her, and so she went home and she started to ask her mom a bunch of questions about the needs that people might have in the school. And her mom tried to explain, and so she hatched an idea. She decided to set up a hot cocoa stand, selling hot chocolate and cider and cookies on a particular Sunday here in December, just a few weeks back. And her mom collected over $80. And they then went to the school and said, can you use this to pay off negative lunch balances? A 5-year-old. When I was 5, I was dreaming and hoping and waiting anxiously about the next Lego set under the tree. Right? As Christmas was approaching, that's what I was focused on. Caught up in my own little world. But this 5-year-old, she was paying attention. She was listening and she heard about a need in her school. And then she went and did something about it. And she's not done. The story goes on. It says, Caitlin's next goal is to raise enough money to pay off not only all the negative lunch balances at the school, but the thousands of negative accounts at schools in the whole school district. She doesn't know any of those kids. She doesn't know those families or anything about them, but it doesn't matter because she seems to have the heart that God has, that is ready to love all and to do what it takes to respond to their need. She lives sacrificially. I love it. Isn't that a great, great moment? A 5-year-old living beyond herself, noticing the need and responding. I don't know if she's heard our passage today from 1 John where it says, hey, let's not just talk about love, but let's practice it. Let's act it out. Let's really love in tangible, physical, concrete ways. That's how we know what love is. That's how we see it and experience it. And we see it in Christ giving himself. And then he says, now how will we give ourselves? How will we love all this Advent and this Christmas and into the new year in 2020? There's another Presbyterian minister out in California, a man named John Ortberg. You may have heard of him. He was out here a while back at Willow. He has a great way of stringing together phrases that hit us and challenge us. And I love what he said. He said this: what if we were to get so filled up with the love of God that we were to see and then pray for and then help and listen and stop and be with and give to people who have a need? What if we were to express record levels of compassion in actual, concrete, tangible, real, personal, sometimes costly ways? What if we were to so love the world around us that we were to give to it the best we have ever given to the people who need it the most? Well, that would be the best Christmas ever. That's our challenge in the Advent conspiracy. That's our challenge for every day as followers of Jesus. That we would love all, not just friend and family, not just those we like, but even enemy, those we dislike, those we even hate, to somehow turn that by the power of God's Spirit to adjust and to move into their world and then to respond to the needs they have. For little Caitlin, it was selling hot cocoa and giving away the proceeds. For you and I, what will that look like in the weeks and months to come? I don't know. What I do know is that God routinely puts these opportunities in front of us. And if we pay attention, we'll notice and then respond. And God's love will not have disappeared, as our passage talked about, but will have grown and extended and reached farther and farther. Perhaps as we're celebrating on Christmas Day, as we're sharing with family and friends and the presents and the food and the joy has grown, perhaps that will be the impetus for us to look out and to love all in the days ahead. Well, gracious God, it is indeed a challenge. We find it easy to love those like us, to love those closest to us. But Lord, you call us to love all as you love all. And so may your Spirit move in us, O God. Open our eyes, and then may we practice real love in the days ahead. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.